Welcome, friends, to another broadcast of Morsels for Zion's Poor.
Much is often made of this word convert, and many go to great lengths to try to define it as some experience or happening which takes place once in a person's life, never to be again repeated. It has become synonymous with the word saved in the current religious vernacular. It is often viewed as a possession which one can take charge of. Yet the Lord told Peter that he was yet to be converted, even though he had confessed, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." The Greek word, which is sometimes translated as converted, appears in the Scriptures 39 times, and is also translated turn, turn about, return, or turn again 29 times. Conversion seems to be somewhat synonymous with repentance, which is a constant work that is taking place in the children of God, because of the presence of the Spirit of God in them. Peter was evidently quickened by the Spirit and told who Christ was, but was yet in need of greater correction. The Lord chastens those whom He loves, and never has the rod of His correction been felt any keener than when Peter recalled the words of the Lord as the cock crew, and he wept bitterly. But Peter was not yet converted because repentance had not yet had its perfect work. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Later the Lord began this work when He told Peter, "Feed my sheep," and then brought forth the evidence of its healing power on the day of Pentecost, when indeed Peter strengthened the brethren as the Holy Ghost came upon him. Who could declare that Peter was not converted? That man who stood before that assembly was not the same man who boasted of his willingness to die for the Lord, nor that one that cowered in fear at a young maid's question, nor even that one who had shed tears in the valley of Baca, yea, even the valley of the shadow of death. Yet Peter's conversion was not yet complete. For Paul says, "But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed." Peter needed to be turned from the error of Judaism, which he had in a measure re-embraced. Paul said, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." The work of Christ in the lives of His people is not yet finished, but it is a constant operation of the Spirit of God, whereby He is teaching them all things. We are being changed by Him. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Even then, there is yet one change that awaits the sons of God, which we have heretofore never experienced, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. All of this takes place because the Lord has prayed for us. He said, "I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth." He specifically prayed here for his disciples, but included all of his elect in the same prayer, saying, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word." Oh, the glory of it! Jesus Christ has prayed for us. He who set the moon and stars in place and stretches out the heavens like a curtain has interceded in our behalf as a man taking upon himself our sin and guilt. Even more glorious is the fact that he presently, in the current hour, ever lives to make intercession for his own in the very court of heaven. But this intercession is not carried out with groanings and the utterance of words, but by the very fact that he is present at his Father's right hand. As Charles Wesley wrote, "Five bleeding wounds he bears, received on Calvary. They pour effectual prayers. They strongly plead for me. Forgive him, oh, forgive," they cry. "Forgive him, oh, forgive," they cry. "Nor let that ransomed sinner die." Does Christ intercede for you?
For a free CD containing 5 of these radio broadcasts, send an email to forthepoor@windstream.net.